my vehicle's warranty. Plus, I can still just pull in without an appointment. And they're locally owned, just like me. Jiffy Lube only gets better with age.
Don't replace the carpets. Get a zero-res clean and save. Book at zeroresdc.com.
805 on 105.9 FM at AM 630 WMAL. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First in the fives, here's Jamie Witten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
And we're getting better into the 8 o'clock hour. Oh, I'm so happy to tell you in the Great Falls area, you can now use the Georgetown Pike. It's been closed for almost 10 hours. Repairs finished to the utility pole and wires. Reopen the Georgetown Pike between Lee Mill Road and Old Dominion Drive. Enjoy the trip there. Again, you can now use that. No problems to report right now coming off the Greenway Toll Road 66 bunched up through Manassas to Centerville. Earlier, we had a crash that was quickly over to the shoulder. 395 Edsel Road, the entire trip to the 14th Street Bridge, crash at the Case Bridge, that's been cleared. Now, I've been talking about the delays on the Clara Barton Parkway. Hang on, they're getting worse. They're still growing due to the broken down cars. You come up toward the Chain Bridge and getting toward Canal Road. If you take the George Washington Parkway, not so bad. Delays are well south of 123, so near the overlooks down toward the Key Bridge. I'm sure to build some delays as well. On Route 5, northbound, also getting better. The crash before you get to Surratt's Road near Birch Hill Road, that has cleared. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Areas of fog force here this morning, dense in some areas. Otherwise, a cloudy start here to our Monday. Clouds will break up and give way to a little bit of sunshine as we head through the afternoon. Temperatures into the mid-50s. Clear skies, upper 30s tonight. Sunny and upper 50s Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel on WMAL.
Right now, 49 in Manassas, 48 in Olney, 50 degrees in Washington. A never-Trump columnist claims she was glad to be booed at CPAC. See the video at WMAL.com. I'm Bill Thompson on 105.9 FM at AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, Washington mornings on the Mall.
105.9 FM.
And AM 630.
Good morning. Vince Colonnais sitting alongside Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer in for the vacationing Mary Walter this morning. Tony, good morning, sir.
Hey, Vince. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. I want to jump into an issue that's near and dear to your heart, a show you're involved with. Yes. It's called Chain of Command, airing tonight, 9 p.m. on Nat Geo, the season finale, the 8th episode. And then in this episode, we're going to get a sense of the men who were involved in operations in Niger before they were ambushed in October. For more on that now, though, we go to Scott Boggins. He's the showrunner of this show, Chain of Command. Scott, first of all, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Scott.
Glad to have you here. And Scott, tell us about, first of all, this series, Chain of Command. What has it been about?
Chain of Command has been, for us, it's been a project that we've been working on for, since late 2016. National Geographic has been in discussions with the Department of Defense even well before that. We've been embedded with the U.S. military and their coalition partners throughout the world, watching the fight and actually documenting the fight against violent extremism. So we've been with units, as you had mentioned, in Niger, with this, with Third Group. We were in Afghanistan, Helmand Province. We've been in Mosul. And there has been a lot of reporting from a lot of these areas. What has been different with Chain of Command, however, has been we've been very character-driven in that we've been embedded with them for, you know, for weeks. We're in Mosul for close to 8 to 9, 10 weeks. And it's been different when you're with them for this amount of time. You know, there's a lot of relationships form and trust forms, and you begin to get a sense of who they are and what they do, and we're really documenting history.
And Scott, it's not only intimate, but it's also somewhat exclusive because, you know, Tony Schaefer was telling me off the air that, you know, this, the embeds have really ended. We remember during Iraq and Afghanistan, you had a lot of embedded correspondence. It's not really the case as much anymore, but this is, you're offering one of the few inside looks of our ongoing wars overseas.
It was through a lot of discussion. It was, you know, this is worlds that have never been really explored before, and we were very fortunate to be able to get the access. And access is certainly key. The second and probably the most important is to be able to work and to be able to tell stories effectively. When you're in the room, you want to be able to focus on a particular character or two. And so they're just, the men and women, that they're just not used yep. to cameras. Right. And so it takes a little time for them to get used to us and vice versa.
Well, Scott, having been involved with this in those early discussions directly, I'm still amazed, and I'm just going to do the shout-out to you. You took this big bowl of spaghetti and all those characters, all that detail, and again, I think you deserve amazing credit as a showrunner to put this into a cohesive, amazing series. I mean, I am amazed at the final product, and, I've seen it from day one. We've seen in the early episodes ISIS hand grenades being dropped off drones within rock throw distance of your crews out there, and now we're talking about coming up to the episode 8 here, talking about some things that happened in Africa. So it's amazing that you were able to lay this all out in an effective, cohesive way. And tonight's episode is going to be very much key to what you just said about characters.
It would tell us about that episode tonight. What will we discover? I know the Pentagon is set to release its own report on what happened in that ambush last October. Tell us about some of the revelations that you have in the show about who these men were.
It was a process that it would took months in advance before third group, the Green Berets, were deployed to Niger. We first went to Fort Bragg to sit down with them, and like we have done with a lot of the various groups in the U.S. military, you sit down and you talk and see, where you could start. It was the same process with them. We went early on to Fort Bragg. We met up with a lot of their leadership there, and then slowly we began to be able to get in and to understand and see the story as it started to evolve. We filmed with Third Group before they went to Niger, actually, them preparing for the deployment. When we got to Niger, we were with the Third Group for a little over 2 weeks, and it was camp life, and it was a way for us to better understand their commitment, and who they were, and we were very fortunate to be able to to film with David Johnson, and understand and many others, understand just who he was, right. Again, they were there because they are working with their partners on securing their borders and also training and everything everything like that. So we again took it step by step, and we were with them for the 2 weeks, and of course when the ambush happened, we were out of country at that point. And when the ambush had happened, it was just absolutely tragic.
How long after was the ambush from the time that you had seen them?
A few weeks.
Okay.
A few weeks. And you'll see in tonight's episode, you can start to see how the events happened. You start to see, because the Nigerians wanted, right. Needed help in establishing various bases close to the Mali border. And you see in tonight's episode how that process happened.
Yeah, to that point, Scott, the Niger border has become a major crossroads in this fight against radical Islam and radical extremism. So I think that's one of the things which is very clearly illustrated by being there up close and personal with these folks.
Now, Scott, can I ask you, I know the Pentagon is set to release a report on what actually happened and how it all happened. Two parts. One, was your footage requested by the Pentagon at all in this investigation? And two, do you know that if the Pentagon is waiting until this episode airs tonight in order to release this investigation?
No, on both counts. We're working independently of the investigation. We are, we are very fortunate to be able to work with them and get the access to tell stories. And the timeline for that is completely separate to, you know, to our broadcast schedule. And we were, you know, this tonight's episode was scheduled to air, you know, many, many weeks in advance. Yes. And we're, you know, we were shooting this episode and filming this episode literally up until, well, just a few weeks ago,
right.
Basically.
Well,
we were, you know, you'll see in the last 2 minutes of this episode, sort of a series summation where Marines that we were with Task Force Southwest, just returned from Helmand Province, and that happened in January. So there was many of those characters that we were embedded with even before their employment,
yes.
They came home.
Well, there's still a lot of fights going on out there, and you've documented them. You're doing a great service to the American public who needs to see them. The show is Chain of Command. It airs at 9 o'clock on Nat Geo tonight, the season finale involving that ambush in Niger and the men who were involved in the weeks leading up to it. Scott Boggins, thank you very much for the show and also for joining us this morning on Mornings on the Mall.
Thank you for having me. Really appreciate it.
Nice, Scott.
Nice to have you. 8:15 now. WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes. First on the fives. Here's Jamie Whitten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Better news. Everything is reopened here on the Georgetown Pike between Lee Mill Road and Old Dominion Drive. That had been closed for hours doing repairs to a utility pole. So now done. You can use it. And I'm not seeing too much of a backup through that stretch. Enjoy the trip. 66 still bunched up through Manassas to Centerville. Our latest crash in Manassas on the exit there has been cleared. Then beyond Fair Oaks toward Nutley Street. George Washington Parkway starts to pick up delays. I'm not surprised. A lot of commuters starting to avoid Clara Barton Parkway. So GW Parkway south of 123 slow. Don't get off at 123 Chain Bridge Road. That is bumper to bumper down to the Chain Bridge toward Canal Road. And Clara Barton Parkway is very slow. Just as you come off the Beltway, watch for delays up ahead, but improving the closer you get to the Chain Bridge. All broken down. I know it's a lot to talk about, but that's your morning trip through that stretch. And Baltimore Washington Parkway. Let's come southbound south of the exit for the airport south before you get to Route 100 for a new crash. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com. The WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
All right, morning fog today and clouds, then decreasing clouds this afternoon with a high of 56. Tonight, clear skies, a low of 37. Tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 58. Currently, Reagan National, 51 degrees, 8:17 on WMAL. This week, Congress is consumed once again by a gun debate. They're going to be talking about what they can do. I know that Republicans are pushing for fixed NICS. They want to strengthen the background check system, create both incentives and penalties in order to get state, local, federal agencies to all be reporting the information that they should be reporting to the national background check system. We saw that obviously exist as a failure in the case of the shooting in Texas, wherein the Air Force did not provide the domestic violence information to the background check system that they should have, that would have prevented that assailant from purchasing a gun. So there is an effort afoot to fix that. Hard to see why anyone would disagree with that thing. I mean, this is a background check system that's already in place. It should
right.
be functioning effectively.
Right. I think that there's absolutely no debate on that. The problem is obviously what happens if the system, again, has information which is not properly shared in real time. So there's a number of things that have to be looked at regarding interoperability. Look, the VA has the same problem with medical records. We have to make sure this stuff all functions together.
Yes.
That's a challenge.
And the litany of government failures we've seen thus far suggests that we should spend more time focusing on getting the government to operate efficiently, given the tasks we've already assigned it,
right?
Rather than assign a bunch of new ones, including trying to mandate that law-abiding citizens not have guns. We're nowhere near that if the government can't do its current job well.
Well, think about the irony of that. They want you to be less reliant on your gun and more reliant on them than a system that doesn't work.
Well, you've seen over the course of the past few weeks many of the survivors of the Parkland shooting, young people, coming out and making a gun control case. Some of them, by the way, not arguing the opposite, but they get a lot less airtime. There's one survivor in particular, a guy by the name of David Hogue, who's was on Reliable Sources, I believe, this weekend. Yes, with Brian Stelter, and he's been criticizing Dana Loesch at the NRA. Listen to his criticism of her.
Dana's trying to do. I believe she's the CEO of the NRA. She's trying to distract people. If you listen to her talk,
she's a national spokeswoman for the NRA.
Exactly. She's a national spokeswoman, and as such, she's a national propagandist for the NRA. If you listen to her speak, she's not really saying anything. She's sounding positive and confident, and that's what she wants the people in the NRA to believe, her 5 million-plus members. She wants them to think that she's on their side, but she's not. She's actually working with the gun manufacturers because...
So you're trying to drive a wedge between the NRA leadership and its members. Oh,
because what the NRA members really want is fewer guns. That's what this guy's arguing.
Right.
Now, by the way, I want to point out what we've pointed out regularly. He wants to do something horrific. I think he, like any American, deserves to be a stakeholder in this conversation. But if you're going to be a part of it, especially on national TV, you should be able to engage with the ideas and have a debate. And I think, you know, that's a fair way to view this.
Right.
He's attacking her for representing the NRA's position, which is that the government shouldn't get involved and restrict law-abiding citizens' access to guns. And in fact, the encouragement of the NRA is that law-abiding gun owners be armed enough to be able to defend themselves in a situation like what we just saw in Florida.
Right. And I think Hogue is completely missing the point that his own actions is what's stimulating gun sales. His propaganda. Think about that. Gun sale, you know, there's this article out today which talks about the gun sales in Florida going through the roof. It's because of him. It's not because of anything Dinah Loesch said or did not say. It's about the fact that when he says this, he is spouting propaganda, and old George Costanza there, what's his name?
Brian Stelter.
Brian Stelter.
George Costanza.
Yeah, you know, the George Costanza of CNN is out there talking about, you know, giving these softballs, not actually pushing back against the insanity of his position.
Yeah, nothing spikes gun sales like threatening to take them.
Right.
Here's more.
Don't have to. She's doing that herself, honestly, because she's showing that she doesn't care about them. She doesn't care about police. Why do you think she's criticizing these people? It's because she's going after them, and she wants her base to continue attacking them so she can sell more guns.
I'll tell you what, he does sound like a seasoned gun control activist, though. I mean, he doesn't, you know, he's got it down. The everything, the talking points, rhythm, blood on their hands, all the everything, it does fit within the confines of the gun control activist. He certainly studied up on it.
Right.
Some of the criticism of the NRA, of Dana, very personally, are you concerned that you might actually lose support if you get too personal, too incendiary?
Well, she's already done that by attacking Sheriff Scott Israel, who obviously there were some major mistakes made here and ones that we have to look into. And I don't want to say anything until after the investigation's done because I don't know what happened. I'm just a student that had to witness this horrifying incident.
Wow.
But
so
I'm just a student. I have no idea.
I mean, how many times have we heard that on cable television? I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a whatever. I'm not a doctor. But, I mean, these are politicians, the way they respond to these things. And by the way, let me jump ahead. This is this notion that the sheriff, you know, that she attacked the sheriff. Let's go to cut 20. She attacked the sheriff for all of this. Here's how the sheriff is defending himself. Mm-hmm. And he's claiming that all of these many calls placed to his department about the shooter, Nicholas Cruz, in advance of the shooting, and the fact that his deputies just stood outside as the shooting went on Valentine's Day, those are not reflections on his leadership.
That's right.
Jake, I could only take responsibility for what I knew about. I exercised my due diligence. I've given amazing leadership to this agency.
Amazing leadership?
I've worked... Yes, Jake. There's a lot of things we've done throughout this. You don't measure a person's leadership by a deputy not going into a.
All right. So he's arguing he's blameless. But let's go back to cut 16 here. This is on ABC's This Week. Dana Loesch, the very woman who was just being attacked by David Hogue, the survivor, had this to say about the sheriff.
Their dereliction of duty. And I know they say now it's 23 times that they had calls in addition to two FBI tips and numerous reports from classmates. It is. And under Florida law, they actually had the authority to go and arrest that individual before anything could be done. And I wish that as much attention were given to the Broward County Sheriff and their abdication of duty as trying to blame 5 million innocent law-abiding gun owners all across the country for this.
There's been no blaming here.
No, there has been.
Okay, look, forget Clinton spokesman George Stephanopoulos for a second.
Yeah.
Who in this conversation has more culpability, the Broward County Sheriff's Department or the 5 million members of the NRA?
Well, it's clearly the man with catastrophic leadership skills. That's a sheriff named Israel. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is a virtual lynching of 5 million citizens based on the fact that you have multiple and serial failures of.
I saw I saw Bill de Blasio over the weekend tweet out that this is about the leadership of the NRA, not its members. Will you stop? Will you please?
Yeah, but they're making it personal. I mean, this is what Hoag's doing. This is what they're doing. And the bottom line is Vince. The culpability is of the law enforcement failures. And again, we talked about this earlier. You're asking now, a system wants to have people have less arms and say, rely on us more after we failed.
Remember in the hours after this, as in the hours after every attack, we say, okay, let's find out what happened.
Right.
Let's wait for the facts and then we can assess it. Well, no. Now's the time for call for gun control. Don't tell us it's not the time to call for gun control. Guess what happened? We waited for the facts and they're abhorrent. And the solution turns out not to be gun control.
Right.
It turns out to be fixing the government that failed these students every step of the way leading up to the deaths of these students and administrators inside that high school.
The laws were in place. The process was in place. And everything should have worked, but it didn't because of the lack of leadership. And because of people like Chris Wray, as Joe DeVinova said earlier, and this Sheriff Israel.
The president meeting with governors today, going to have this conversation. Congress wants to have this conversation, and we'll keep having it here as well. 8:25 now, WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes, first on the fives. Here's Jamie Whitten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
270 commuters. Boy, we've been talking about you a lot this morning. Here's the latest southbound on 270. Still have delays south of Clarksburg, so heading through Germantown and Rockville, but travel lanes are open. It's northbound in Gaithersburg with the unusual volume, and that's due to a crash northbound. As you come northbound past the exit for Montgomery Village Avenue, that should all be to the shoulder now, so stick with it. Shouldn't cost you too much extra time, but patience for sure. Top side of the Beltway from 95 around to George Avenue, typical jam up there. To the Wilson Bridge, just a little bit of volume that we had near 210 just about cleared out. Crossing the 14th Street Bridge, we're still jammed to get to the freeway. Had the earlier crash on the Case Bridge, which has been cleared. Update sponsored by United States Traffic Network. Looking to add your talent to a dynamic company? United States Traffic Network seeks a motivated account executive to join the sales team. Send your resume to ustrafficnetwork.com/careers. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Dry weather and above average temperatures for the start of the business week. Clouds and fog this morning, decreasing clouds this afternoon, mid-50s. I'm Ken Boone from the Weather Channel on WMAL.
It's 51 degrees in the nation's capital, 827 on WMAL.
The National Mall, ground zero for American politics.
Our country is going down the toilet really fast because our leaders are refusing to listen to us.
Washington's Mall, WMAL.
I think exactly what the previous caller said.
Where Washington comes to talk.
You know, hiring somebody can be a real pain. You post to job boards and hope you'll find the right person for the job. But then you think about it. How often do you actually check those job boards? For most people, it's pretty occasional. But there is a place where people go daily to grow professionally and they explore job opportunities. 70% of the U.S. workforce does. It's LinkedIn. You already know LinkedIn is the world's largest professional network. It's also a better way to find great talent. Just ask any of the hundreds of thousands of businesses who have posted to LinkedIn jobs over the past year. Remember, when you post to those job boards, you might get a lot of responses back, but are they quality? I can tell you how many times I've gone through resumes, throwing them out. How do you like that cover letter that gets the company wrong when they apply? Hilarious, but not helpful to you because LinkedIn considers skills, experiences, location, and more. They can fix that, and they can promote your job to potential candidates. Businesses rate LinkedIn jobs 40% higher than job boards at delivering quality candidates. 22 million professionals view and apply to jobs on LinkedIn every week in every industry, including yours and mine. Don't settle for posting and hoping the right person's going to find your role and apply. Instead, go to LinkedIn.com/WMAL and get a $50 credit towards your first job post. That's LinkedIn.com/WMAL for your $50 credit today. Terms and conditions apply.
Tom, what do you like best about this job?
I like to see the look on people's faces when they see the difference we made.
Describe that difference.
We make places feel big
and clean.
We give people a fresh start,
a do-over,
a brand new day
with birds singing and everything.
And what do we say to people?
All you have to do is point.
Whatever you're pointing at will disappear.
And what happens after it disappears?
We recycle the recyclables
and donate the donatables
so planet Earth stays happy and healthy.
I love planet Earth.
Me too. It's my favorite planet.
So they point, junk disappears, and we do the right things with it.
Right. Very right.
And when do we do all this?
We come when it's convenient for you. We work until midnight, 7 days a week, so you never have to take off work to meet us. Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK
or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
That's not my responsibility. Those are the words of Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel, saying the fact that his deputies hung outside while those students were shot is not his fault. What do you think? Should he resign or be fired? We'll chat with you in a moment. 8:30 on WMAL.
WMAL FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington. 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 8:30. Good morning. I'm Bill Thompson. Lawmakers are returning to Capitol Hill amid pressure from the public and President Trump to act on gun violence. Mr. Trump has called for raising the minimum age to purchase assault-style weapons and for arming some of the nation's teachers. Former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley says Americans need to show that, quote, we love our kids more than we love our guns.
States that make it tougher to buy combat assault weapons have fewer gun deaths. And you're going to see this movement, I think, taking off across all of the states in the months ahead.
Meanwhile, nearly 2 weeks after a gunman killed 17 people at a Florida high school, students and teachers will be returning to class later this week.
Thousands of high school students and their parents joined hands and returned to the school where terror played out less than 2 weeks ago. Counselors were at the orientation for anyone needing their help, and administrators discussed how the school will try to move forward. Faculty and staff are back on campus today, preparing for the students to come back to class Wednesday. Building 12, where the killings took place, will remain closed, and there's discussion of tearing it down to build a memorial. I'm Clayton Neville.
Violent storms across the South and the Ohio River Valley spawned several tornadoes over the weekend, and meteorologist Chad Meyer says more rains in the forecast for much of that same region.
The storm system, as it moves away, builds another one for Tuesday and Wednesday. Another storm right over the top of where the last one was, and we do expect more tornadoes for Wednesday and possibly Thursday through the Midwest and the Southeast.
Checking your money, the Dow opens today at 25,310. The Nasdaq at 73,37. Sports sponsored by Zelle. The Wizards beat the 76ers. College basketball, the Maryland women wrap up their regular season with a win. Exhibition baseball, the Nats win, the O's lose. Up next, traffic and weather as Mornings on the Mall continues on 105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Zelle is a new way to send money from your banking app to almost anyone. Zelle, this is how money moves. More at ZellePay.com. Must have a bank account in the U.S. to use Zelle.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor, and if you or your bed partner has sleep apnea, snoring is likely the worst part of your nightly routine. Once the snoring starts, one of you probably moves to a different room to try to get some sleep alone. CPAP is the first line of therapy for sleep apnea, but if you can't get relief from CPAP, now there's a silent, mask-free option keeping couples together in the same room. It's called Inspire. Inspire is a small implantable device that works inside your body with your natural breathing process. It delivers mild stimulation throughout the night to keep your airway open, giving you and your partner the restful sleep you need together. Inspire is FDA approved to treat obstructive sleep apnea and offered at over 150 leading medical centers across the country. Join the growing number of people treating their sleep apnea with Inspire. Visit InspireSleep.com to learn more, review important safety information, and to find a doctor in the Washington, D.C. area who can help determine if Inspire is right for you. The freedom to sleep like everyone else is just a click away. That's InspireSleep.com. Larry O'Connor here with my friend and coworker, JJ.
Hello, Larry.
We've both gotten healthy with EMP Winnerty weight loss, and you're up to what now?
60 pounds in 4 months. Okay, that's unbelievable.
That's like a whole human being.
Exactly. And the numbers are great, but I want to talk about the staff for a minute. Are they not awesome?
They really are, yeah.
Here's an example. So my wife and I have a date night coming up, and she had asked to go to this specific restaurant. I was kind of worried about what I'd order. I mentioned this to Kim when I was at the Rockville office, and she took the time out of her day to research all these options, what I could order. She
email me later with like specific ways to ask for the food, I could enjoy my dinner and keep up my progress because of the awesome people.
Yeah, I've been hanging out in the lobby and I've seen them do the exact same thing for all their clients.
Yeah, it's great to have them in my corner. And it's one reason I say if I can have this type of success, anybody can with EMP 180.
Visit EMP 180 in Tyson's Corner. And now Marylanders can visit their Rockville office on the web, EMP180weightloss.com. Call 855-888-0180. 855-888-0180. Schedule your consultation today.
Hi, Adam Kincaid here, owner of Valor Roofing. And for quite a while now, you've heard me talk about the core principles that Valor Roofing is built upon: honor, respect, and trust. As Valor has become one of the most hired and referred roofers in our region, we continue to receive praise from our customers. 9 out of 10 surveyed gives us 5 stars. On behalf of our entire company, I want to say thank you for trusting Valor to install over 1,200 projects last year. For those of you still in need of a new roof, there's no better time to call. Now, through the end of February, when you hire Valor to replace your roof, I'll give the shingles on the backside of your home completely free when you buy them for the front. Plus, you'll get a free upgrade to HD architectural shingles. Help me help our veterans in need through Valor's Raise a Roof for a Vet campaign, which is dedicated to replacing the roof of a local disabled combat vet each quarter. $1 for every bundle of shingles we install goes back to our veterans. Learn more about how we help America's heroes at ValorExteriors.com. Call for your free estimate today, 703-721-4931, or visit ValorExteriors.com.
35 on 105.9 FM at AM 630 WMAL. Traffic and weather every 10 minutes, first in the fives. Here's Jamie Witten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
Heading through northwest, delays on Connecticut Avenue. If you're heading in toward Cleveland Park, an incident involving a pedestrian on Connecticut Avenue, heading southbound before you get to Porter Street near Rodman. So do watch under police direction. So coming in from Van Ness, UDC, heavier than normal delays for Connecticut Avenue. Over to Reno Road as your alternate as well, but that's going to pick up some delays too. Now let's get you around the Beltway with no problems right now to the Wilson Bridge just near 210 for the volume. A little bit better than normal. Slowdowns out of Springfield to Annandale, Toll Road to the Legion Bridge, and then topside with our normal tie-ups. 270 northbound. That's where we had the crash. Still activity along the far right, slowing the northbound commute heading into Gaithersburg just past Montgomery Village Avenue 124. So do watch for that activity. An unusual slowdown after you've been just going at speed going northbound through that area. On 66, we're still bunched up in Manassas towards Centerville, Fair Oaks, now to Nutley Street. And no problems to report 12th Street at Constitution Avenue. That's where we had the earlier crash gone. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Dry weather and warming temperatures for the start of the business week. Clouds and fog this morning with decreasing clouds this afternoon, mid-50s. Clear tonight, upper 30s. Sunny and upper 50s Tuesday. Partly cloudy, low 60s Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel on WMAL.
Right now, 47 in Burke, 48 in La Plata, 51 degrees in Washington. I'm Bill Thompson on 105.9 FM at AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, Washington Mornings on the Mall. 105.9 FM. And AM 630. WMAL.
Good morning, WMAL, 837 here. Vince Conaway sitting alongside Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, helping us out today in for the vacationing Mary Walter. Tony, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Vince. Yes, she's off curling.
Yes, she is. I want to chat more about this sheriff, Scott Israel. He's the Broward County Sheriff. And I want to know from you this morning, do you think that this man should resign or be fired? He's an elected official in Broward County, clearly. He's a sheriff. And his department has been put on notice for so many red flags, which include taking dozens of calls regarding incidents at the home where this killer was staying ahead of his actual slaughter. Phone calls indicating that he was set to be a school shooter. I mean, so there's pretty explicit terms here.
Right.
The FBI also culpable in some of this. The FBI in a small way, investigating a YouTube comment left under his name, even with its unusual spelling of the word of the name Nicholas Cruz, underneath a YouTube video, left a comment, "I'm going to be a professional school shooter." Doesn't really get more explicit than that. But the investigation stopped at them chatting with the creator of the video itself, and that was it. And incident after incident after incident indicating that this is somebody who needed to be looked at seriously. Then add on top of that, that the deputies of the Broward County Sheriff's Department, including the one who was assigned as the school resource officer, who had a gun, stood outside of that building as the shooting raged on and did not go in. We're hearing reports of as many as four deputies from that sheriff's department, but certainly the one, a man by the name of Scott Peterson, who, by the way, the president name-dropped during his CPAC speech, specifically mentioned him and his actions. Now the sheriff of that agency suggesting that he is not responsible, that he should be held blameless for all of this. In fact, and one other detail here, you know, we've heard him, you've heard him in the last hour, we played the audio of him saying that he had amazing leadership of his department. Here he is admitting, on Cut 18, admitting that he knew about his deputy's actions the very day that he participated in that CNN town hall and attacked the NRA. Listen.
Sheriff, when did you find out that Deputy Peterson had not gone into the building? How soon after the shooting did you know that?
Not for days.
How many days?
Investigators looked. I'm not sure.
Because you spent much of the Wednesday night town hall on CNN with the entire Stoneman Douglas community, students and teachers and parents, attacking the NRA, saying that police need more powers, more money to prevent future tragedies. You didn't disclose any of this to the crowd then, the Stoneman Douglas High School community. Did you know it then? Did you know it Wednesday night?
It was spoken about during that day. I'm not on a timeline for TV or any news show. We need to get it right. We need to get it accurate.
So he says he knew about it earlier that day.
Yeah.
That day, yet he stood up there and attacked Dana Loesch, despite the fact that he had failures in his own department. He insists he should not resign. What do you think? 888-630-9625, 888-630-WMAL.
Notably, the Broward County Sheriff's Office tweeted just 17 hours ago, the Broward County Sheriff's Office welcomed Governor Scott's call for the investigation of the shooting.
Sure.
And I'm sure they welcome it like having certain parts of their body pulled off with pliers.
Yeah, big time. All right, Matt is in Maryland kicking us off this morning. Matt, good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall. Should he resign or be fired?
Well, that's my question, really. I don't know how it is in Florida,
yep,
but in Maryland, he's an elected official. I mean, a United States senator could be caught doing something if he's elected and you can't fire him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a whole process you have to go through, I guess, but I was wondering what that process is in Florida. I'm not sure the governor has the authority to fire him.
Well,
I don't think he can in Maryland.
Lawmakers in Florida seem to believe he can. They're trying to pressure Rick Scott to remove him from office. That would suggest that he does have the power to do it. He's resisted such calls and calling for the investigation first, but it appears that he does have the power. It's an important question, but either way, you know, whether it's the governor who does it or the voters themselves who recall him, I think that this guy has to answer for.
Yeah, it would seem like it would mean a whole lot more if the voters were the ones that did it, you know.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, no, in Virginia, you can have the state's attorney remove a sheriff. So I'm not sure if that's the way it works in Florida or not, but the state could direct an attorney to take action like that.
Matt, good point. Thank you very much. Michael is in Woodbridge this morning. Michael, good morning, sir.
Yes, gentlemen. Scott Israel is the one who, on the night of the CNN purported town hall, was wanting to argue with Dana because Dana cited 39 calls. And Scott Israel is the one who wanted to argue. Well, I'm not sure it's 39. It might be 29. As though 29 would have been an acceptable number of calls to get warning and not reacting, but 39 would be too much. That'd be a bridge too far.
Yes.
He's also the gentleman who got incensed when people started talking about his officers and wanted to turn it around that same event. Oh, no, the only one responsible for this is the shooter. And yet, however, he has taken an anti-AR-15 stance because clearly my gun is the problem, not the fact that his officers did not respond to 30 calls.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael. Actually, I'm going to play for you some audio from that moment at the CNN town hall. Here's Dana Loesch pressing the sheriff about those visits from cops.
39 visits, assaulting students, assaulting parents, taking bullets and knives to school. Did that not meet that standard?
Well, which are you speaking about specifically? You seem to know about all 39.
Well, there's one Florida statute where if he's sending messages threatening to kill people, that right there, under Florida state law.
Who did he send the message to kill people to?
BuzzFeed, AP, Reuters, Yahoo News, reported that was to other students.
Who is the victim?
It was sent to other students.
Dana, Reuters can't be a victim. The only person who could be a victim is an individual.
If an individual
was threatened and it was real, that's a crime.
Listen to him trying to slither out of this. Look, the kid was removed from school. He was carrying shell casings in his backpack. He wasn't even allowed to carry a backpack anymore. He was eventually expelled. The signs were crystal clear. There was a school full resource officer on hand. That resource officer, by the way, was told of tips about him potentially becoming a school shooter.
And he watched him get out of the Uber and walk into the school.
So the sheriff trying to squirm his way right out of that conversation.
Right. What?
But all the heat is on. We'll pick up on this in a moment, and we're going to get your reaction to it as well. Should he be canned? 888-630-9625. 888-630-WMAL 844.
Want to make $250,000?
Found it.
Seven on Your Side goes dumpster diving.
It's crazy.
And the merchandise we found
is very, very wasteful.
How to turn trash into cash. Tonight on ABC 7 News at 11. Get your cup of go in the morning with ABC 7's Good Morning Washington.
More breaking news for you in D.C.
News from overnight. Alerts to plan ahead. Plus your traffic and weather to go.
The temperatures right now starting off in the 20s.
Get up and go with ABC 7's Good Morning Washington. Tomorrow.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to secure the best interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools to find the right loan and save you more. So tune into WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding Corporation.
If there's one thing we'd all like to learn, it's how to make our retirement more predictable. Find out how by joining Abe and Shelley Abish for The Retirement Key, Saturday afternoons at 2 on WMAL.
8:45 now, WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes first on the 5. Here's Jamie Whitten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
All right, 66 commuters, it's a broken down truck on eastbound 66 as you pass Fair Lakes, Fair Oaks, but a crew's there to for everyone's safety, blocking the second lane from the right, so do watch. Again, 66 eastbound near Fair Lakes, Fair Oaks. On the George Washington Parkway, take you southbound, south of 123 for the volume, and that now goes down to your bridges, Key Bridge, if you're heading to the Teddy Roosevelt Bridge and beyond, down to the 14th Street Bridge. On the northbound side, you're in good shape. Earlier problems near Memorial Circle, those have been wrapped up. On 270 northbound, an unusual delay, but improving. North of Montgomery Village Avenue, crash was along the right side. Southbound, still watch for delays through Germantown and toward Rockville. On the Baltimore-Washington Parkway, southbound before you get to Route 100, crash cleanup was continuing. So just south of the exit for the airport, watch for those stop-and-go delays. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Areas of fog force here this morning, dense in some areas. Otherwise, a cloudy start here to our Monday. Clouds will break up and give way to a little bit of sunshine as we head through the afternoon. Temperatures into the mid-50s. Clear skies, upper 30s tonight. Sunny upper 50s Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel on WMAL.
49 degrees in the nation's capital. Traffic and weather brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Get two classic bacon, egg, and cheese croissant sandwiches for $5 at Dunkin', because two is better than one. That's two times the Cherrywood smoked bacon and flaky buttery croissants, and they're always made to order. America runs on Dunkin'. Exclusions may apply. Participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Sheriff Scott Israel claims he would have been the first man in if he had been at the school. He said the deputy made the mistake, but he goes, it's not the responsibility of the general or the president if you have a deserter. Do you agree? Is it not his responsibility that his deputy stood by as those kids were killed? 888-630-9625.
There's a great scene at the beginning of Patton where Patton comes in and relieves one of the generals who failed to actually prosecute a proper war against the Germans. So, you know, it's not about a deserter. It's about a failure to actually conduct the mission you've been trained to do. And I think, Vince, if Israel was the captain of the Titanic, he would have been shoving women and children out of the way to get to the first lifeboat to get off the ship once it hit the iceberg. I don't believe this guy should be leading a Boy Scout, Cub Scout troop, let alone a department of this magnitude.
Maggie in Round Hill, Virginia this morning. Maggie, good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I don't believe he should resign because resignation implies that he's entitled to some sort of retirement or some sort of benefits. I think he should be fired, and I think he should be brought up on charges of neglect and abuse and for propagating this whole situation, because his department that he was in charge of didn't do anything to stop him before the shooter went in there and did that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's also amazing to hear, like, you know, the survivor David Hogue bring up that the sheriff should be held blameless and they're going to wait for this investigation. Will David Hogue or any of these other families be a part of a lawsuit against that department?
Yeah.
I mean, why are you sort of ruling that out entirely and just blaming the NRA? Again, who has more culpability here? The people who are tasked with protecting but and failed, or the organization that's advocating that you have firepower to fight back against the people that attack you? Donna is in Frederick this morning. Donna, good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall. What of the sheriff's fate?
Hi, good morning. Well, first of all, I want to start with saying I can't wait to hear President Trump's famous words from The Apprentice. You're fired.
Yeah.
And this needs to transcend the whole lot of these Obama holdovers and people in government who are flat out negligent. I mean, you can't help but ask, what's wrong with this picture? We've been invaded by criminals in this country, and yet they want to take our guns away from us. It's insane. And you know what? The fish rots from the head down. These agencies, it's long overdue. We the people are tired of it.
Thank you, Donna.
No, it's a great point. I mean, look, we have less crime in Virginia where we have more weapons than D.C. or Baltimore. So it's insane that you want to take weapons away from people to defend themselves.
Well, let's go to Mike in Arlington. Mike's got a thought on this. Mike, good morning. You're on Mornings on the Mall, sir.
Hey, I don't mind firing the cop, but, you know, what I want in exchange is get these guns off the street, get these high-capacity magazines off the street, because there are other things that could have saved and did save lives. Marco Rubio specifically alluded to the fact that this guy had to reload, and probably three or four lives were saved because he probably tried to put his next magazine in backwards or something like that. Reduce magazine size to...
Well, you know what would have really saved lives,
make
Mike?
Make him reload more often, and we'll save more lives.
Yeah, well, you know what really would have saved lives, Mike, is if somebody could have fired back, actually.
Right.
And there was a cop standing outside for 4 minutes not doing that. And meanwhile, I mean, this is not a trade deal. I mean, the government failed. And the guy who failed chiefly among them, one of them, is the Broward County Sheriff. So he should be fired.
People failed on 9/11. There will always be human failures. There will always be human failures. There will always be cowards in war.
And when that happens, they should be held responsible so that we don't indulge it in the future.
Yeah, but Mike, do you really believe everybody's going to give up their high-capacity magazines? And the only people who would do that would be law-abiding citizens. Who is left then with high-capacity magazines?
Criminals who will go to jail when they're found.
No, it didn't work like that. They use them. And that's why you need to have somebody with a gun to stop them.
Yeah, well, and some of these guys like dying by cop. Others, in
right.
the end, give up, like we saw in the case of this Nicholas Cruz character. Let's go to Wayne in D.C. Good morning, Wayne. You're on Mornings on the Mall. What of the fate of this sheriff?
I think if the sheriff resigns, then who takes his place? Are there going to be any more implications of his power, more or less?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really think firing the sheriff is getting to the root of the problem. You know, I think if the root of the problem is guns, then at some point we're going to have to do something about the video games. Most of these young shooters are being trained by these video games.
Well, there's definitely a lot of cultural things we should take a look
right.
at and kind of assess how they play a role in all of this. But unquestionably, if you do something wrong, or if your subordinates do something wrong, you need to be held accountable. And if we basically let it slide on the basis of the fact that, well, somebody else crappy might come in behind them, then we've lost all sense of how we actually, like, do discipline and actually take care of responsible governance. That
right.
doesn't...
Right.
That's a horrible situation to be in. Patricia in Fairfax, sorry, we can't get to you, but she says, fire the sheriff, and we need more school counselors so we can catch these problems sooner.
There you go.
Patricia, thank you. Excellent summary. 852 on WMAL.
A Better Life with Dr. Sanjay Gupta.
Are you trying to eat better in 2018? While most New Year's resolutions fail, here's how to make sure yours doesn't. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, CNN's chief medical correspondent. When it comes to changing the way you eat, a diet plan can be really helpful. A lot of people find they enjoy a little bit of guidance when it comes to making better choices at the grocery store. Of course, no diet is good for everyone, but Consumer Reports is out with its list of the best and worst diets for the year. For the eighth year in a row, the DASH diet came in at number one. It stands for Dietary Approaches to Stop Hypertension. And for the first time, the Mediterranean diet tied for first place. Both emphasize eating more fruits and vegetables, whole grains, fish, and low-fat dairy. The worst diets overall, the keto and Dukan diets. Both are high in protein, low in carbs, but the experts say neither will do your body good. I'm Dr. Sanjay Gupta, helping you live a better life.
The March of Dimes and HCA Healthcare are committed to the best possible start for every baby.
I'm Amy Casseri, Vice President of HCA Women and Children's Services, where we have the honor of delivering over 200,000 babies a year. We partner with the March of Dimes on research and fundraising to help build a brighter future for babies everywhere. So march with us on one of the many HCA teams assembled nationwide. Learn more at marchforbabies.org/HCA.
Are you paying too much for your Medicare Part D prescriptions? At Walgreens, that's a question you won't have to ask. As a preferred pharmacy with many plans nationwide, Walgreens offers copays as low as $0 on select plans. So switching your prescriptions to Walgreens will be worth the trip. Millions of people have Walgreens as a preferred pharmacy in their network, so you could be saving big. Switch your prescriptions and start saving today. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. $0 copays apply to Tier 1 generics.
8:55 now, WMAL traffic and weather every 10 minutes first on the 5. Here's Jamie Witten in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
To the Wilson Bridge, your delays have cleared out. No delays either direction. Still slow each way, though, at the American Legion Bridge as you come out of Maryland just off of the spur and past Old Georgetown Road. 270 northbound, the crash near Montgomery Village Avenue. That was to the shoulder. Still a little bit of a delay there. Southbound, some delays as well as you push through Rockville. Breaker, breaker. It's a broken down flatbed tractor trailer. 66 commuters eastbound as you come up to 50, Fair Lakes, Fair Oaks, two right lanes now blocked. That's coned off with crews there. They're trying to get that for everyone's safety. Everyone to the left as you approach Fair Lakes, Fair Oaks. Update sponsored by Debt Hotline. Are you buried in credit card debt or student loan debt? Learn how to reduce your debt to a fraction of what you owe. Call now for free advice. 800-471-0216. 800-471-0216. And now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Dry weather and warming temperatures for the start of the business week. Clouds and fog this morning with decreasing clouds this afternoon, mid-50s. Clear tonight, upper 30s. Sunny and upper 50s Tuesday. Partly cloudy, low 60s Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel on WMAL.
51 degrees in the nation's capital, 8:56 on WMAL.
The National Mall, a place for the country to coalesce. Washington's Mall, WMAL, a place where Washington comes together.
How about that?
105.9 FM and AM 630. Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Hey, it's Larry O'Connor here. Listen, if you're about to sell your home or if someone you know is about to sell their home and they've had it previously listed and didn't sell, then here's what you need to do, okay? Call my friends Sarah and Debbie Reynolds of the Reynolds Team with Keller Williams. Sarah and Debbie are all pros selling homes all across the D.C. area. What separates Sarah and Debbie from all the other realtors is their strong home buyers pool. They have over 5,300 buyers looking to buy right now. Other agents want to list your home, then have to market to would-be buyers that they have no relationship with. Sarah and Debbie already have the buyers, so don't lose money. Sarah and Debbie sell faster and for more money. Sarah and Debbie will even guarantee that if your home doesn't sell, they'll buy it at a price acceptable to you. That's guaranteed. So if you or someone you know are selling their home, then make sure you call the All Pros, Sarah and Debbie. Call them direct, 844-344-SOLD. 844-344-SOLD or online at DebbieHasTheBuyers.com. That's DebbieHasTheBuyers.com.
This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. After 38 years of practice and almost a million patient visits, the Rozelle Center for Healing knows what works and knows how you can take control of your health and wellness. My team of doctors practice 21st century integrative medicine. Whether you suffer from chronic pain and fatigue, allergies, or headaches, we can help. Take charge of your health before it's too late. Make an appointment today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit online at RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com.
At the Rozelle Center for Healing, we care about your health and want to help you take your health in a new direction, far from drugs and surgery. Knowledge is the key to optimal wellness and control of your health. We offer free health education on chronic health conditions and natural integrative medicine treatments. Attend Monitoring Treatment Efficacy through Thermography on Wednesday, March 7th at 7 p.m. Space is limited, so register today. Call 703-698-7117 or visit RozelleCare.com. That's RozelleCare.com.
Her fur is so much shinier, silkier, softer. She has really mellowed a lot.
Sheba is a
105 lean pounds of shiny, smooth, happy dog for life.
The shedding has stopped. The itching has stopped.
Since 2001, we've helped more than 250,000 dogs get over their nutritional deficiency miseries.
And saved our customers bazillions in vet bills.
Everything we tried failed except the Dynavite.
Come to Dynavite for help.
DINOVITE.com.
If you want the dog to be healthy, you got to feed it something healthy.
The omega-3 fatty acids,
flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa,
the digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite for life.
Don't let your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy.
Come to Dynavite for help.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
You struck a nerve with me.
105.9 FM and AM 630.
It's insanity.
Washington's Mall.
WMAL.
You gotta hear this.
Where Washington comes to talk.
All right, coming up tomorrow on Mornings on the Mall, we've got Larry Kudlow and Amber Athey is going to be joining us. That'll be good. And also the president today meeting with governors to talk guns. We'll see what comes out of that conversation. What's coming up on the Chris Plant Show?
We're going to start a GoFundMe page for Sheriff Israel since he's going to be looking for work real soon. I saw you guys doing this, but my favorite, I think, was if ifs and buts were candy and nuts from the sheriff down there. Let's get it. Apparently he's a Simpsons fan or something.
WMAL-FM Woodbridge, WMAL Washington. 105.9 FM and AM 630. WMAL Washington. A Cumulus station. Where Washington comes to talk. News. Now.
WMAL News at 9. Good morning, I'm Bill Thompson. Florida Governor Rick Scott is ordering an investigation into the response to the deadly high school shooting earlier this month. There have been growing calls for Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel to resign in the wake of reports that deputies waited outside the school, but among Israel's defenders is shooting survivor and student Brandon Abzug.
I think he should definitely keep his job. We know about this one time where they dropped the ball, but we don't know about the 999 other times where they did do things to save us.
Meanwhile, school reopens Wednesday for the first time since the Valentine's Day mass shooting at Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Yesterday, students were allowed to return to the school to collect backpacks and other belongings they had to leave behind when they fled the building. The students were greeted yesterday by 17 people dressed as angels. The Montgomery County School Board meeting tonight could go in many different directions.
Given everything that's happened over the past couple weeks, says Montgomery County Board of Education President Mike Durso, it's inevitable that school safety and security is going to come up when the board meets tonight.
I suspect individual board members will have some comments to make. There's an agenda item that will be addressing that.
He says they've been working on security upgrades since last spring, but concerns are growing louder. As for the general proposal of arming teachers,
I don't know if arming teachers would come up quite honestly, I don't see much sentiment for that right now.
Steve Burns on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Several hundred people came to a rally in Rockville yesterday organized by the anti-gun violence group Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense in America. The organizers had planned that rally, they say, even before the Florida school shootings. Anne Arundel County police are looking for suspects in the murders of two people in a home in Odenton. Police think that 55-year-old Charles James Edward Jackson and 47-year-old Veronique Crystal Jackson were targeted by someone. Their bodies were discovered in their home yesterday morning by a family member. Montgomery County is weighing in on a legal battle over union dues. This, as an Illinois man argues before the Supreme Court today that requiring him to pay union dues is unconstitutional.
The county's asking the High Court to uphold a law which requires all municipal workers to pay union dues. Montgomery County Council President Hans Reimer on why the county's chiming in.
By having unions that have collective bargaining where everyone's covered and everyone pays dues, that it builds a good system where we can better achieve our goals.
The Illinois man says it's unconstitutional to make him pay dues when he is not a union member. The law says he needs to because he's covered by the union's contract. Reimer worries if the man's case succeeds, unions will spend more time chasing dues and less creating better services. In Rockville, Heather Curtis on WMAL and WMAL.com.
Someone hacked the Winter Olympics, and a report now says it was the Russians.
U.S. intelligence officials say the cyber attack was meant to appear to be from North Korea, but Russian spies were actually responsible, according to the Washington Post. Olympic organizers had declined to reveal the source of the hack that caused internet disruptions during the February 9th opening ceremonies. There were even empty seats because some fans could not print tickets. It's assumed the hack was retaliation retaliation for Russians being banned from the Winter Games because of doping violations uncovered after the 2014 Sochi Olympics. A number of investigations found a widespread government-run doping scheme that dated back years. Joe Ramsey, WMAL and WMAL.com.
In McLean, there was a Sunday afternoon gathering of Dreamers and immigration activists who went door-to-door in Congresswoman Barbara Comstock's neighborhood. It even drew a police response when they repeatedly knocked on her front door and rang the doorbell several times. Checking your money, the Dow opens today at 25,310, the NASDAQ at 73,37. Up next, traffic and weather on 105.9 FM at AM 630, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Set up your Amazon Echo to hear Mark Levin weeknights 6 to 9.
Great. Now, give me the information.
For one-time setup, say, Alexa, enable WMAL skill. Then to listen, just say, Alexa, open WMAL.
You getting a little picture here?
Details at WMAL.com.
It's the call you make to take control of your health.
Good morning, Princeton Longevity Center.
When you call Princeton Longevity Center, the region's leading center for preventive medicine, preventing cancers and avoiding heart attacks before they strike. Princeton Longevity Center not only helps you prevent life-threatening illnesses, they can help you reduce the anxiety that comes from just not knowing enough about your health.
The very in-depth physical.
When you call, a coordinator will tell you about PLC's one-day comprehensive exam.
We do have even your blood tests back the same day.
At Princeton Longevity, you'll get the time and attention you need and the latest technology for taking control of your health.
But we can also do virtual colonoscopy with our scanner.
Now with offices in Fairfax, Virginia, staying well is even easier. Call today and ask about how to use your Flex or health savings account. Call 888-8000-PLC or go to PrincetonLongevityCenter.com.
And we do it all in one day.
888-8000-PLC.
Don't replace the carpets. Get a Zero Res clean and save. Book at ZeroResDC.com.
905 at 105.9 FM at AM 630 WMAL. Traffic.